1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, John writes, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." We looked at this verse recently in our Wednesday study of 1 John and had a good discussion around it. And I thought, as I was preparing for what I would speak of this morning, as we prepared our minds for the Lord's Supper, I thought of this in passage in Romans: "Do not continue in sin." You know, as we read from the ESV, is what I had quoted there. If he's God's seed, if he's born of God, he cannot keep on sinning. We are not to continue in sin. Paul certainly wrote of this in Romans chapter 6 and why we should not continue in sin. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Paul gives a number of reasons on why we should not continue in sin. The first, in verse 2, "We have died to sin, and we no longer live in it." He asked it rhetorically, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? If we've died to sin, then we can't continue in sin. It just goes to reason. And that, I think, is also what John had in mind when he wrote, as we had already read, but also we can see in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18, "We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." To be born of God, we have to have a death, because we had to die to sin and to be born to God. So we cannot continue in sin if we are going to be in God. Second, we have been baptized. Verses 3 through 5 lay out the case for why, if we've been baptized, that we can no longer continue in sin, because we've been baptized into the death that Christ was buried with. We were, in our baptism, buried with Christ. Christ shed his blood for us. Verse 3, "As many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death." That death was where he shed his blood for us. We have then the obligation to understand what Christ has done for us when we enter into life with him through baptism. Baptism is how we put on Christ. We can read this in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So certainly, if we're going to be alive in Christ, we're going to be dead to sin, we've been baptized into Christ and buried with him, then as it says in verse 5, we are united together in the likeness of his death. There is a unification that comes through our baptism, through our being baptized, and therefore we cannot continue in sin. We are no longer enslaved to sin. We had been slaves to sin, but we are no longer enslaved to sin through this baptism, this new life that we have in Christ and God. Verse 6 and 7, we know that the old man was crucified, that the body of sin might be done away, so we should no longer be slaves of sin. We are freed from sin. Verse 7. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We were crucified with Christ, as we just also see in verse 6 of Romans 6, knowing that the old man was crucified with him. Just as Paul told the Galatians that we were crucified with Christ, and it's no longer us that are living, but Christ. We therefore are freed from the bondage of sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are taking on Christ. All of this is reasons that we should no longer continue in sin. We can also look later in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? We have a choice to make on who we're going to serve, but we have the opportunity, because we've been freed from sin, to no longer be slaves to sin. And we have that choice then to obey either sin or obedience leading to righteousness, as Paul spoke of in verse 16. Verses 8 through 11, Paul tells us that we should not continue in sin because we are alive to God. If we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And if we have died in him as well, we have the opportunity to live as well. Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. So we can be alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 11. And we have been brought from death to life, verses 12 through 13. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. We have to recognize that we are alive from dead, that we have been freed from sin, that we have been baptized into Christ's death, and we've been raised from it. Of course, all this you may ask, well, how does this prepare me to think of the Lord's Supper? Well, I think really verses 5 through 11, if we think about what we can see there and what has been emphasized as Paul is going through this, a number of recurring ideas and themes come through. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, but he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It begins and ends with the fact that Christ died for us. We can't worry about continuing in sin or not if Christ had not died for us. He went through the ultimate sacrifice, giving his life on the cross, being crucified for us, shedding his blood for us, dying for us once for all, being raised from the dead, died to sin once for all, so that we can have that opportunity to be with God. We need to think of this as we think about our obligation to not continue in sin, because if we continue in sin, then the crucifixion of Christ on the cross, his death for us, was of naught. We have the obligation to serve him as we should and to be one who does not continue in sin, to recognize that great love that God demonstrated to us. But it certainly begins in we memorialize each Lord's Day, each first day of the week, that great sacrifice and love that was demonstrated to us in Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And let us think of that as we partake of the Lord's Supper now.